This is 2EC playing the South Coast's greatest hits. And for those living on the far south coast and indeed all of Australia, the name Bega Cheese is as iconic as it gets. Each day as I drive to work, I see the beautiful dairy cows walking up to the dairy at the same time every morning. It really is a beautiful sight. I have the executive chairman of the company, Barry Irvin, on the phone. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
Now, Barry, I think the first question I have to ask you is about the cows. I see them walking up. They seem to be walking up to the dairy by themselves every morning. Is that right?
So, look, a lot of our herds are like that. And you know, I'm a sixth-generation dairy farmer myself. So the cows, you know, they pretty much work clockwork. Daylight saving throws them out for a day or two, but they like to wander up to the dairy. And you know, they like to be milked, obviously, because if they're full of milk, they like the relief of having milking. So then there's always lead cows in a pack. So the lead cows will start to come home. They are hierarchical, and so the lead cows will lead the rest of the mob home.
That's funny, because that was going to be my next question. I did hear that they walk up every day in order, but I didn't know whether to believe that.
Yeah, no, pretty much in my lifetime, if very much they come into the dairy in the same order pretty much every day. So if a cow's coming out of order, it's a sign that she might be a bit unwell or something like that. So it's the early signs of something strange going on. But they very much have their own pecking order.
Okay, and I have to ask you this question. Increasingly, a lot of people are concerned about animal welfare these days, but your cows look like they are living the good life.
Yeah, so look, Bega Cheese has you know, an entire sort of audit process around how we deal with our farmers on animal welfare, but even beyond that, most farmers love their animals. I mean, a lot of these cows have genetics, and you'll find the farmers know their grandparents and their great-grandparents and know the story of the animal, and they obviously quite more often than not hand-rear them. So they are very, you know, the vast, vast, vast majority of farmers care for their animals, you know, not only for economic reasons, but because they're part of the family to a certain extent. So it always disappoints me a little when extreme views are taken on some of these matters, but I think the vast majority of farmers are happy looking at their cows out in the field, but happy watching the public enjoy that sight. And you know, I think, you know, happy for when if they have visitors, they're always pleased to show them, you know, contented calves and contented cows.
Well, I'm a city boy, Barry, and I've been down in the region for about 4 months now, and I've got to say, I just love the sight of seeing those cows every morning. It really is beautiful. So, Barry, next question. What is it about Bega Cheese, in your opinion, that makes it so iconic?
Look, you know, I have a strong view that one of the most important things is that we actually have a home, that actually the brand and the company has the origins in the town of Bega. It's grown enormously from there, but you know, we've been producing great cheese and telling the story of the beautiful Bega Valley over a great many years through our advertising and marketing, and even right down to, I think, some of our most famous ads feature our dairy farmers in the Bega Valley. And I think that real sort of sense of place and the affinity that people from all over Australia and indeed in many parts of the world have heard the name Bega and know that it's this town on the lower south coast of New South Wales in a beautiful valley. And I think it's that sense of place that has made the brand, you know, just so iconic.
And Vegemite is now in Bega Cheese, and in the Bega Cheese umbrella. Do you want to, because we know that it wasn't always in Australian hands, but it now is back in Australian hands.
Indeed. So obviously it was great to be the company that brought Vegemite home after 90-odd years, I think, of foreign ownership. And in fact, Vegemite was only owned for a short period of time before it became foreign owned. So that we purchased it in 2017, and I still remember the mayor at the time saying, well, you know, for a small town of 5,000 people, it's amazing that the home of Australia's most famous brands and Bega Cheese and Vegemite is now Bega. And, you know, so we've had, you know, a wonderful success story around Bega and Vegemite and, you know, really a lot of other famous Australian brands that we've been able to bring home in recent years, which were which we're delighted to be able to do. But that's all about obviously running a successful company and having really strong support from all our stakeholders and particularly our shareholders who've helped us raise the capital for those purchases.
Well, I'm sure a lot of Australians will be happy to hear that Vegemite is back in Australian hands. So congratulations. In fact, I spoke to a lady from Murrimbula the other day who claims her father wrote the Vegemite jingle, "We're Happy Little Vegemites."
Well, there you go. Well, there you go. I wasn't aware of that, but I think, I think everybody, I mean, the thing that I actually, quite frankly, it's wonderful leading this company, but I love the fact that even around the town of Bega for all my life that I've grown up here and, you know, obviously know many people and walk down the streets, I think everybody feels like they have a little stake in Bega, whether they're a shareholder or not, or whether they're a dairy farmer supplier or not. I think they all feel the pride for the company.
And Barry, I have to ask you, you're involved in something that's called the circular economy. Do you want to tell me a little bit about this?
Yes, look, this is a project that Bega Cheese has been championing along with a global agribank, Rabobank, and KPMG and a number of other corporate companies and indeed the local council. And really, we all know that there is a great debate going on at the moment around sustainability, but it's been a debate that's been raging for years. And I think, you know, my concern is that it tends to seem to involve people yelling at one another. And I wanted to sort of change the conversation, if you like. And really, the conversation that is happening beyond the emissions debate around the world is about how we can make our economies more circular. So if I sort of translate that, we largely live in a linear economy at the moment where we, take, make, dispose, single use. You know, 91% of the world lives like that. Only 9% of the world is more circular. So for me, thinking about how we could keep activity in the economy and try and address not just the emissions issue, but the water issues, the waste issues, the biodiversity and soil health issues, some of the issues you talked around, animal care, nutrition and animal feed, and even packaging and logistics. I don't think we should be just addressing one issue, because if we address just one issue, that next issue will emerge for us. We need to address them all, and we need to address them as a community. So we spent a good bit of time last year chatting to all sorts of people in the Bega region, from the three Indigenous land councils right through to the oyster growers and fisheries, obviously the dairy farmers, the beef farmers, the orchardists, the hops growers, all of as many small businesses and people in the arts and tourism area as we could, because we thought combining the resources, combining the knowledge of the community was the best path forward, and the best way to do that was through creating a regional circular cooperative so we could all actually work together on making sure that we used our resources in the most sustainable and effective way possible. I think we're at the leading end of what's going on around sustainability. If there is, in my mind, there is little point in a company. You know, there is obviously good things about companies doing individual projects themselves, but if we can engage in the entire community, we can maximise the outcomes. And so that's what we've been busily doing. We're pleased now that we've got our cooperative registered only a week ago, so we'll soon be open for membership, and I think it's a very exciting time in the Valley, and I think we can really set a standard not only for this region and other regions within Australia, but indeed regions around the world. And in fact, this project has been nominated to the United Nations Food Systems Summit as a global game changer.
Well, on the face of it, it certainly seems like a fantastic idea. Is there anywhere you can suggest, if people are interested, where they can go and get more information on this?
Yeah, so look, if people give us a few weeks, we will actually have a website up and running, and we will obviously sort of have an official launch, but we're probably a month or two away from that. But within a few weeks, we'll have a website up and running. So we'll probably come back and talk to Bertie when we're ready to launch, and that will probably be the time where we'll have all the communication systems in place.
Okay, fantastic. Well, I'll definitely keep my eye on that. And finally, Barry, you were awarded the Order of Australia, so I understand, for contribution to children with disability and also the Australian dairy industry. Do you want to just tell me quickly about that?
Yes, thanks for the opportunity, Bertie. So yes, I grew up with a disabled sister and indeed have a profoundly autistic son. And so a great many years ago now, some 25 years ago, we became involved with an organisation called Giant Steps, which helps children with profound autism. I've chaired the organisation since 2002. We manage, you know, so when we first started, we started with around six staff. We have about 138 staff across Sydney and Melbourne now. We look after children and young adults and provide a number of services, including, you know, a world first mental health clinic that's actually located within our school in Sydney. So we provide primary and high school and post school programs for children, and we also provide a number of supports for their families. So obviously, been a passion of mine, not only to try and help my own little boy who's not so little anymore, but indeed, you know, many other people that perhaps found themselves in the same position, but maybe not able to have the resources to create something that you know, a very important part of my life, and indeed has grown and helped many over a great many years.
Well, good on you, Barry. Well done for all of that and for your time today. We are extremely grateful at 2EC, so thank you very much.
Thanks, Bertie. Lovely to talk to you. Look forward to chatting again soon.